Welcome to Season 4 of Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana, a platform that promotes and supports artists in live music venues. In this series, our host, music journalist and photographer Tom Smouse, visits artists to discuss songwriting and listen to one of their songs. For this season, we're talking to many of the artists on the bill of Amerigrass, a one-day festival taking place Saturday, October 7th at Minneapolis's Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge. We're excited to be partnering with this new festival, hosted by award-winning country act Megan and the Birdwatcher, which brings some of the region's best bands to the Hook.
Welcome to another Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. This is the podcast where we're the guest. My name is Tom Smouse, and today we're in the Nokomis neighborhood of South Minneapolis. I'm here with the jamgrass band Buffalo Galaxy, which since their debut release in 2020 have traveled all over the Midwest playing over 200 shows. I know just getting off of a tour recently as well, so just always on the road here. The String Quartet is gearing up to release their second album later this year. Buffalo Galaxy is one of the bands performing at the October 7th Amerigrass Super Show at the Hook and Ladder in Minneapolis. This season of Smouse in the House is a bit different as our focus features on the bands playing that show, discussing the different variety of genres in Americana and bluegrass. I have with me today Jake Rohde, Johnny Kavarik, and Pete Whiteman of Buffalo Galaxy. Thanks for having me here, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Welcome.
Yeah. So I'm sitting downstairs. I'm not really sure whose place this is. I just kind of walked in, so I don't know whose place I'm sitting in now. But I'm downstairs in a home here.
Yeah, this is the home studio of sorts. It's like halfway put together. It's got creaks and...
It's more put together than it's ever been, though,
John. Yeah, it's a work in progress. We're getting there, though. We are finishing up our record here as well, slowly chipping away at it when we're not on the road. And so far, so good. It's
been a this room looks like... I mean, you have like a little recording set up next to me, which I'm seeing. You rehearse down here, too, at times?
At times, yep.
Okay.
Yep, we got a little isolation room over there.
Oh, yeah, around the corner here. Yep. Yeah.
It's a little short ceiling for an upright bass at times.
Yeah.
But we used to practice outside all the time, wherever we would practice, but now we just perform outside and practice when we can in the summer, I guess.
How does the songwriting work for this group? I mean, there's four of you. Are ideas coming from all over? Do you do that all together? How do you piece what a song is, I guess?
There are innumerable ways to craft a song. And I like to think that we haven't even gotten close to scratching the surface of like all the possibilities. There are times where somebody has something fully formed, ready to go. There are times when there's just a whisper of an idea and like, hey, do we want to do something with this? Sometimes somebody's got the A part, somebody else has a B part, you know, as soon as they hear it, they're like, oh, this would be cool, you know. Sometimes this tiny little change can make the song and flip it, you know. So there's input coming from all over. We've written some songs in the van or the bus, you know, after a show, driving late night. Like, it can come from anywhere. And I think just being open to the spark and chasing it when it shows up is usually what we do.
Yeah.
We've found the best ones seem to come when we're next to a big body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. As with the best live shows that we do. So, here on out, catch us near a body of water.
Yeah.
We'll play the best there. We'll probably have a new song, you know?
Yeah.
I think just AI from here.
Let
them write the songs.
Right. That's the one method we haven't tried yet, so.
That's because that ain't no part of nothing.
It ain't.
Nothing says bluegrass like artificial intelligence. Yeah.
Well, you're certainly in the right state when it comes to water, with 10,000 lakes, obviously, around here.
Yeah.
How do you feel like the Midwest and being in this area kind of influences your music? And is there any Midwest bands that you kind of heavily draw from and hear that kind of help seep in?
It was actually kind of funny. We were just down in Appalachia and we were talking to people in Asheville and Boone, and they're like, oh, y'all play bluegrass? I didn't even know they played bluegrass up in Minnesota. Kind of funny.
It was curious to see how we'd be received, because we're a bunch, we're some Yankee boys.
Right.
Yeah.
Going down, putting our spin on things, and it was very familial.
Yeah.
Everyone was.
They were playing a lot of old-time music down there, too, which is really interesting, because I feel that in certain areas of the scene in Minnesota, there's a lot of old-time music, but it seems like it's kind of getting pushed more to the corners. and a lot of people are playing a lot more bluegrass here. So it's interesting to go to Appalachia and then have people say like, oh no, we like old time here.
Yeah.
It's great.
And I guess our spin on it came from our influences, which are, we have some influences in common. Mm-hmm. Yonder Mountain String Band's a big one. Railroad Earth, these big bluegrass and jam bands. And we've always liked to have fun with it too. And that's what, like, the jam and the improvisation is like a big focus of our live shows. And we're trying to bring that into our recording process too with this next record. Yeah, I think we all kind of draw from a similar pool of influences. And
styles. What's that one band? The Grateful Dead.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Those guys.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
That's fun to listen to.
Yeah.
To talk about like diversified influences, I grew up playing a lot of heavy, doomy music in Duluth while I was also playing jazz. So I feel like that informs a lot of things. You know, like Jake was a drummer for a long time before he ever picked up mandolin. So a lot of that polyrhythmic type of stuff we've kind of...
It's the fun thing is we all have a diverse musical background and have all been performing for a long time. Mm-hmm. So getting to explore what we can do with a acoustic situation with the traditional bluegrass setup and be like, well, what's novel and what's new? Or like, how can we step outside of what's considered the norm for that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rip a Bill Monroe song and then be like, how far away from that can we go
right.
in the next one?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much breath can we put into it?
You're actually kind of leading into my next question because obviously this isn't your first group. You all have played in other projects. I'm always curious to know, like, what do you carry with you when you join a new band? And when you, I mean, what do you bring along? Are there habits that you learn that you are trickling into this? Or is it just things that you've picked up from playing other styles where you're like, all right, let me see if this is going to work in this
extra
piece.
Checked bag and another carry-on per new band. It's like moving houses.
Yeah.
Rooms start filling up and it's just piling it all
on. Yeah. I guess with the amount of projects I've been in, it's wild to think about like how similar a lot of it is. And then there's also, you know, everybody's their own individual too, but like the craft of making music is kind of mind-blowingly similar.
Yeah.
I've co-written with a lot of people and it's interesting how to see someone chase a spark or to see what they do with it, you know, you carry that for sure.
Yeah.
That's definitely something worth keeping in your toolbox, you know, taking it home with you. And then there's other things you see too, where you're like, I filled in for this person in this group a few times and I saw what they did and I'm like, they're doing it great and that's them, but that's not me. And so you know it's out there and it's okay for anyone else to do it, but you're just like, oh, that's just not me. That's okay, you know? So being open and perceptive is really important, but then at the end of the day, you got to do you for you, you know, and you got to be with your people and do your thing the way you do it, you know, regardless of everyone else. So
I guess my assumption as a jam band too is having that feeling there, you know. It's easy to, I think, you know, potentially play in bands where you're all going to be playing your parts, but when you have these large parts of your song where you're going to go off and jam and it's really about that spark of each other and the feeling of that and you're going off script, to me that's a whole new case of you have to know your bandmates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a trust fall and like...
the whole thing's a trust
and,
fall.
And
constantly falling.
And it's also a trust spark though because like I feel like we inspire each other and push each other all the time in that same way where it's like, okay, we're out in the middle of nowhere, nobody knows what's going to happen. Those are kind of the most magical moments, I think, of playing music at all for me. It's like,
And not to zoom out on it too much, but in the same way, that's kind of what led us to do this project is we all had that same interest. We wanted to explore that space. And we're like, oh, you like this too? Well, let's check it out. Explore this territory and see what's out there.
It's amazing too, the interplay between rhythmic and like lead. You know, it's like how I'll be like okay, I'm gonna try something cool here. And, like, it might not be landing, but, like, the rhythm can just come in behind you and be like, yeah, no, keep going, keep working at it, keep figuring it out. And, like, it can propel you to do things you wouldn't have been able to do without that little push, encouragement, and vice versa. To be the one trying to hold it down and to try and, like, leave space for this idea to bloom and unfold. And just, it's exciting when it starts happening and, like, you can be a part of it or you can have no part of it. Like, sometimes I put my instrument down during these jams and I... I take a sip of water and I catch my breath and I'm like listening to it go on and I'm just so happy. I'm like, yeah. Wow, this is great. Like sometimes I can be in it, I can be not in it. Yeah, it still works.
It's great to be getting it, but it's just as exciting when somebody else is like in their pocket. They're like really feeling it and expressing themselves through the music.
Yeah.
Like
it can
we get off on each other so much when we're like in that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can take any form. It's great.
Is there pressure then when you're recording that song saying, all right, we're gonna record it this way, but obviously we know live we're gonna be adding in pieces here or we're gonna be maybe doing it. Is there a pressure that you feel when you record something to be able to do that same thing on stage? Or do you look at those the live and the album as completely two different pieces of work?
I think some of my favorite, like the Grateful Dead's a great example, they'll play a song completely different, like the groove, the tempo, everything completely different from one night to the next. And we do a lot of that too. Like we've taken songs and just totally transformed them on accident. Mm-hmm. And it's been like, damn, we should have recorded it that way, you know? So I just like to think of it as like, oh, if we do stumble on something, like a better way to do it, we'll just re-record it later, you know, with this stuff. You know, we got the tools and we know the people, so like, it's a snapshot of a moment. If we do it that way and it's cool, awesome, but then we're gonna inevitably do it different down the line and we'll release it later in a different way as a part of a live recording or whatever. You know, we have an extensive, thanks to our banjo player Zach, we have an extensive archive.org live taped recorded cache of all of our tunes and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so it can just transform. It's malleable, I think.
I would say in the studio for now, working on our second album, but also in our first album, we have put into the studio and we'll be releasing on the albums, like, songs in their young age, like their first evolution, you know?
Yeah.
And then as we work on those and finish them up and go on the road and everything, they're an entirely different thing by the time the music gets released. So, you know, we haven't seen the other end where we're like, oh, here's that song 4, 5, 10 years later yet, I suppose. But like, I don't know, it's really nice to be able to take a song into the studio and really dissect it and be like, okay, well, here's the notated version. Or like, here's it set in stone, but then that's just a reference sheet.
The evolution of the songs, it's almost intrinsic to what we're doing. It's like we're chasing novelty. Mm-hmm. We're looking for that excitement.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, somebody throws down a killer line out of nowhere, and our eyes light up in a moment. It's like, okay, that's what we're after.
Yeah,
it's like
we found
the,
it.
The novelty, the continued expression.
I had times where I used to go on the road making all these sacrifices at home, playing the same set over and over, and I would find myself just watching TV, playing the song, just as I always did, and like something died inside of me at that point. I was like, I don't think this is it. I can't do this.
Yeah. I want to give our listeners a listen to one of your newer songs called Paint, which was released on September 1st. Can you share a bit kind of where this song came from?
Yeah. We lost our friend Logan Max Graham, and this song just kind of fell out of the sky a few days later after we got the news. And I don't feel like I had any part of it even.
Yeah.
It was just there. I used to co-write with him a lot in Kind Country back in the day. Co-wrote a lot of tunes with those guys, and I feel like a lot of what I absorbed from Max came raining out of that. He was always very bright, but he got a little cloudy at the end there. And so all of that just swirling around inside of me, and that's what came out, you know, at the end of it. It feels like another gift from him. Yeah, it's a tough one to really wrap up into like a little package, but you know, it's all
always,
in the all in the chorus.
Can I always kind of tell when he's like in on it when we're playing that too?
Yeah,
we're really really pushing it, and it's just like, I don't know. We all look over and go, ha-ha, yeah,
have that feeling.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful song, so I'm excited to share this with everyone. And
thank you.
Kind of a first taste of the new album here.
Yeah, we're excited to share it with the world too. It really is, you know, supposed to be happy and uplifting. But and that's the great thing about a song, is where it came from doesn't matter. Where you are when it takes you in is what you'll always have. And so how it came in and how it came and took me is different than how it's going to do that to anyone else. So if it does anything good for anyone else, then it's a win, you know.
Well said. Let's take a listen. You're listening to Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. I'm here with Buffalo Galaxy, and you just heard their new release, Paint. Well, I want to look ahead to the Amerigrass show coming up on October 7th with seven bands, Delwood, Ty Pound, The Holy North, Wild Horses, Papa Bear Norton, The Millbillies, and Megan and the Birdwatcher, and you guys. What are you excited about to witness that night? Have you played with all of those bands? Are you aware of all those bands? Like,
I just had the pleasure of seeing Megan and the Birdwatcher open up for the Ozark Mountain Daredevils up at the Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield, Wisconsin, and it was excellent.
Yeah.
It was just excellent. So I'm really excited for their set. They've got some great tunes and some great voices, great harmonies, great song craft.
The Millbillies are great friends from Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. It's awesome to get to do a show with them in Minneapolis. We've hung out with them a bunch over in Cream City.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll get to see him on this side of the river. It's gonna be great. Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of good things about Wild Horses, but haven't had the pleasure of seeing them perform yet. So.
And the Hook and Ladder is always a great time. It's such a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. There's so much culture there. What they're doing as far as a nonprofit venue for the art scene is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super cool. And this is almost like it's like a festival. There's multiple stages.
Two stages, back and forth. Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff going on. It's more than just a show.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth your money, listeners, if you're interested.
There you go. lineup itself, I mean, all of the bands are considered Americana kind of bluegrass bands, but when you go through, each one of them has kind of a different angle, right? Mm-hmm. So as a fan, I also think you're getting a different experience of different, like more of a rock bluegrass band to more of a duo band and stuff. But for listeners that maybe don't know what a jamgrass band is, how would you explain your style of music to someone that's maybe coming to catch a different kind of bluegrass there?
Supermassive bluegrass. deep space, light speed bluegrass.
It's jazz.
It's jazz.
It's a little bit of jazz. It's a little bit of... It's a little bit of bluegrass.
Yeah, it's a bluegrass melting pot. We throw a little bit of all of our influences in there, but we still got 1 foot.
Bluegrass plus.
Bluegrass plus, yeah. We got 1 foot on the ground and the other one in outer space.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Yeah. Extra probiotics.
Extra probiotics, perfect. Well, leading up to October 7th, where can, like, any upcoming shows that you have coming on? I know there's a new album on the way. Is there an official date for that yet? Is it?
We don't have the release date released yet, but soon that will be.
In 2023, hopefully.
Yep.
Perfect.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see.
So we'll have to let everybody know about the release date and the release show.
Yeah.
Up until then, we're doing our normal thing of, we're kind of traveling. We're on the road. Yeah. We're going to go do 3 shows this weekend, go play the Porcupine Mountains Music Festival up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We're going to keep at it. We're going out to Montana in November. So the wheels are going to, you know, the wheels on the bus go around and around.
We'll be playing at Boats and Bluegrass over in Winona coming up.
Yep.
Squash Fest up in northern Minnesota area.
Superior, really Wisconsin.
Good friends put that one on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then it's kind of regrouping into the fall and writing, releasing.
How would you suggest someone to follow you guys? Are you Instagram? Are you Twitter? Are you website? If someone wants to keep track of all your shows.
Instagram, Facebook. We have our website, www.buffalogalaxy.com.
If you want to look at the deep cuts, go to archive.org.
Yes, you mentioned that. That's
Buffalo
awesome.
Buffalo Galaxy. I think that's always a good thing for somebody who really wants to look into what we do, because we have such a limited amount of recorded music on Spotify, and we very much are a live band. So, go into archive.org, pop in our name.
Follow us on Twitter. formerly known as Twitter X.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's true, yeah.
We only post like once a year on Twitter. So it's when it does drop, it's a big deal. It's
perfect.
You know, we're trying to find somebody to do our TikTok media, but that's all over our heads.
Yeah. Well, you just need that AI for that. You just have to enlist all of that to do all that other business.
Put it in on Indeed, looking for a robot.
Train the algorithm.
Well, thank you guys for your time today. It was a pleasure chatting, and we'll see you October 7th. Yeah. I'm excited to take in the whole show and see everyone in the same place.
Right on. Well, thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
For tickets to Amerigrass, go to thehookmpls.com. To see exclusive photos of our guests taken at the interviews, visit adventuresinamericana.com.
This has been an episode of Smouse in the House, the Amerigrass edition, brought to you by Adventures in Americana. I'm Jacqueline Knott, co-producer, along with Carol Roth and your host, Tom Smouse. The theme music for this season is Take It to the Garden by Megan and the Birdwatcher. Join us next time as we visit with Tyler Pouch of Minneapolis Americana solo band Ty Pow and the Holy North. Thanks for listening.